ABC Radio Australia.
Well, a new report by the aid agency World Vision has found climate change-related conflict is on the rise, including in our region, such as in Papua New Guinea. A survey asked nearly 3,000 people in 9 locations, including PNG, about their experience. It has found that 60% of respondents think climate change is worsening conflict in their communities. And joining me now to discuss it more is World Vision Australia CEO Daniel Wordsworth. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Carl. Good to be here.
Welcome again. So what are the findings, particularly in regards to the Pacific region?
Well, you've highlighted that folks are seeing an increase in violence. We're seeing people worried about the collapse of ecosystems and biodiversity. We have about 95, almost everybody said that it poses, that climate change poses a serious issue for their communities, and they're seeing things like conflict already breaking out.
Can you able to elaborate a little bit on that and just, I guess, some examples of what kind of conflicts they're worried about?
Yeah, I can. And actually, I was in a location myself and saw this firsthand. So what happens with climate change in places like Papua New Guinea, but actually across the world, is you see a series of things happen. You begin to see a decrease in crop yields, you see degraded land, and you see less water. Because it's like the whole environment that they live in just gets degraded and it gets worse. So all of this results in less food. It also results in less income. And then when you have just less resources, less food, you begin to see a rise in conflict because people are fighting for the limited resources they have around them. And then this leads to political instability. And for many people, and this is what I saw firsthand, is you begin to see the movement of people because there's just not enough food to feed your whole family. So you begin sending either the father or some of the kids to the urban environments or to other countries to try to find resources.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's the real roll-on effects that pose the greatest danger. Did people give any feedback on, I guess, what types of conflicts they were most, scared of, what were most prevalent? Was it sort of domestic violence, community confrontations, sexual violence, anything like that?
Well, they didn't go into a lot of detail about this, but I have, again, seen this stuff firsthand for myself. So you will often see fights within families over water. Mm. You will see fights between villages who are also looking at land rights that they're fighting over. And often, as you've said, you actually do see a rise in domestic violence because the stress and the pressure that the family is under reveals itself in how they interact with one another. And often that's in violence, whether it's to kids or, your spouse. And so you can see a sort of a whole range of different types of violence that breaks out.
And how did you collect all this data?
Well, we have teams on the ground in all of these countries. So we went to places from as far as Papua New Guinea, through Central America, in Congo. We actually went into Iraq, and we already have teams on the ground working with these communities. I think we are surprised by the speed in which these climate effects are having an impact on the families we're working with. And as we're observing that because we're on the ground, we did a survey to see what, sort of to dig more deeply into what's happening. But we have teams in these places.
It's funny in some ways that, so much of this stuff you're talking about, it's roll-on effects, it's talking about collapses of ecosystems and things like that. But I guess the most front-of-mind thing is this basic rise in temperature that climate change brings about, which I guess that alone can make people irritable and probably more prone to violence as well. Would you agree with that?
Well, I'm not sure that it's that. Yes, the heat does make us irritable. Look at that. But I think it's more the impact that it's having. Mm. When I talked to a couple of families, actually they said the problem is they don't know anything anymore. That, throughout their life, from their grandparents on down, they knew when the rains would start. They know the day when they need to plant their crops. They have this sort of season built into their life rhythms. And now they've got no clue anymore. The rain doesn't come when it's meant to come. They don't know when to plant their crops. Mm. So I think the real frustration is this uncertainty. What's the future going to bring?
No, 100%. I think everyone across the world could relate to that at the moment. You're listening to Pacific Beat on ABC Radio Australia. I'm Kyle Evans, and I'm chatting with World Vision Australia CEO Daniel Wordsworth about the correlation between conflict and climate change. Now, what can be done to reduce such conflict, do you think?
Well, we have to take this degraded land and we have to improve it. The great news is that at World Vision, we do actually have a breakthrough approach on this. We can regrow entire forests in 4 years, and we're trying to roll this out globally. We've set this huge goal. We're doing it in 29 countries. You know, a forest works in so many different ways. It improves crop yields. It causes the grass to grow. It brings back small animals. It recharges the water table. So it actually fixes the environment that these communities live in. And then more than anything, it's also a vacuum cleaner, giant vacuum cleaner that pulls carbon out of the atmosphere and stops this increase in temperature. So we're on this kind of mad drive to regenerate as many forests as we can across the entire world.
And how could those measures be introduced? I mean, is a lot of funding necessary, or is it more low cost and community driven?
Well, it's low cost. It costs 36 times less than planting a tree. It's quite remarkable. So it's the realization that when trees and when forests get cut down, if you leave the roots there, they stay like this giant underground forest, and they've already found water, they've already found nutrients, and the roots just lie there like this beautiful latent ocean. And then all you need to do is begin to stimulate and regrow the trees, and these trees grow, and they grow in 4 years. Now, it does cost some money, but actually it's mostly about the attitudes of the farmers themselves. And we've seen if you can train them on the technique to regrow the trees, that they can actually do this and millions of hectares can be regrown. We've seen this in a place like Niger. We're seeing this in the Pacific, actually, where you can regrow these whole forests in just 4 years.
What Pacific countries at the moment are you currently engaging with to roll this out?
Well, the biggest one that we're piloting it in the Pacific right now is East Timor, Timor-Leste. Mm-hmm. But I think there are opportunities in other parts, you know, Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands, other parts of the Pacific, and we're trying to find ways to actually do this. In those environments too, you just have to look at general biodiversity. So we look at mangrove swamps, we look at a whole range of the sort of wetlands and coastal regions. So we engage in a sort of, like a multi-factored sort of way, or a, you know, multi-pronged way in those Pacific islands.
I want to go back to the survey you conducted for just a second. I'm curious to know, how long did it take you guys to compile all that data?
Doesn't take that long, actually. It just, we probably spend a few weeks on that. We send our teams out. They collect all of the data. We bring it back. We can do all that work quite quickly, and so it allows us to adapt and to change and to improve our work quite fast.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I ask is that, you know, scientists at the moment tell us we're on course to 1.5 degrees warming or more. What sort of impact do you think that will have on the wider issue?
Yeah, that's what everybody's scared of. That's what, you know, when we talk about climate change, that's what we're talking about. Just that little amount. It's almost hard to believe, but that little amount of temperature rise has this broader impact on a whole range of different things that lead to these kinds of problems. So all of us are in a race to keep that rise to sort of hit a ceiling of 1.5 degrees. I think that's inevitable, but we've got to stop it there. We don't want it going any further. And that's why things like FM&R, the forests, will actually keep it at 1.5. But we got a lot of work to do, Carl.
Yeah, and this brings me back to the thing you said earlier. You know, if it's one thing I think humans need to keep the peace, for lack of a better word, it's this need to feel like, I guess, we're in control. And I guess with such unpredictable weather events, that's probably just so hard to do, isn't it?
I think you highlighted it earlier. There are so many parts of all of our lives right now that we feel out of control in. You know, we no control over the weather. We don't understand the seasons. We don't understand what's going on in places like the Middle East and Europe. And so we are desperately looking for things that we can control. And Australia's got the Pacific. That's why you're focused on it. And so we can just start there. We can begin, you know, making and ensuring that our region is okay, and then maybe from there we can jump out and help others.
Daniel, that's all we've got time for today, but thank you for coming on the show, and good luck going forward with your natural regeneration project.
Thank you, Kyle. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. That was World Vision Australia CEO Daniel Wordsmith speaking to me there.